The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio in the month of Allah, the month of Ramadan. To be charitable in Ramadan. This is the topic of this episode of today's special.
الهلال المبتغى فالصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا
Today, Wednesday, is the 8th of the month of Ramadan, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the first of the month of Ordi Behesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter An-Nisa, verse 10.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا وسيصلون سعيرا.
Indeed, those who devour the property of orphans unjustly are only consuming into their bellies fire, and they will be burned in a blaze.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In Tafsir al-Mizan, this verse has been taken as an evidence for the embodiment of deeds in hereafter. Devouring the property of the orphan will turn to fire on Resurrection Day. Devouring the property of the orphan is unlawful when it is done unjustly and with transgression. Else, the usual holding familiar contact, which does not cause a loss or damage to the orphans, and there is not any evil intention towards devouring their property, is admissible. أشهر الرحمن فيك أنزل القرآن. This part entitled "To be charitable in the month of Ramadan." Ramadan is an embodiment of spiritual and physical worship to cleanse you of evil while experiencing the woes of the poor. It is a reminder for Muslims that if Allah has blessed them with abundance, they should be willing to share Allah's blessing with their brothers and sisters. With the establishment of this fundamental pillar, Islam has asserted that no Muslim can go hungry if the Ummah is united. Be mindful of the people around you who work hard and don't have the resources to observe suhoor and iftar. These may be normal workers who are away from their families, working alone in the city to provide for their loved ones, and so on. Those people may not have the time to make suhoor or iftar. Please be sure to include them in your happiness. After all, additional flatbread or a plate of fruits will not hurt the household.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Greetings dear brothers and sisters and welcome. Thank you guys for joining us on today's special. I hope for those that are listening when it's nighttime now that they are in good health, they're a good deed, they had a good iftar, and for those who are fasting and listening to me right now, good luck with continuing the day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and aid you in completing this day and to accept from you. Brothers and sisters, in the eighth day supplication, we heard something that usually isn't heard that much in the supplications, and it is that Allahumma rizqni fihi rahmat al-aytam. Oh Allah, on this day grant me having mercy upon the orphans. Orphans and paying attention to orphans is something given a lot of importance in Islam. It's something that the Muslims, alhamdulillah, usually pay attention to and usually, you know, give importance to. Usually when they see that this is a poor orphan or orphan in need or altogether orphan, they usually respect it. They usually respect him. They usually take care of him. Alhamdulillah, that's something good in the Muslim community. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it to continue. And it's clear to all our brothers and sisters out there, to all the listeners out there, that the orphan misses out on a lot. You know, even if the orphan were to say was a fortunate person living in wealth, they would still have that tent, al-abu khayma. It's an Iraqi statement or expression, al-abu khayma. The father is a tent. Why? Because usually, you know, Arabs used to live in tents, you know, and the fact that, you know, it's like a roof where it protects you from the sun, it protects you from the cold weather. The same thing with the father. A father usually protects their son. Usually they are like the backbone for their children. And the orphans are missing out on that. They are missing out on the person who was supposed to raise them, who's supposed to help them and aid them to grow, to for them to stand on their feet. Thus, when the orphan loses out on his father, it's the Muslim society's duty to take care of them. We have the saying, we have the various sayings that are very clear. The famous saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, the person who takes care of an orphan, or, you know, sponsors an orphan, is with me in the heavens. And then he puts his index finger and middle finger together and says, like, these two. There's also the saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which also teaches us to when do we have to keep on taking care of orphans. And states till an orphan is able to, falls into wealth. We should sponsor orphans until they fall into wealth, or until they become, you know, men or women, where they become, you know, mature enough to continue their lives by themselves without the aid of, you know, parents or whatnot. They themselves, for example, become parents. And this mercy, you know, in the holy month of Ramadan, especially with the poor orphans out there, usually orphans are fall into poverty because the breadwinner, the main breadwinner, usually passed away. And thus they fall into poverty, they fall into many different hardships. You know, they see children with their fathers, not only with their fathers, that they have, you know, the supplies and equipments that they wish that they had. So, you know, filling this is a merciful act. You don't have to be a religious person to understand its moral concept. You just have to be a human being with moral, you know. You don't have to be a believer to understand the concept of having mercy towards orphans. Yet, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us in having mercy upon them.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhat al-Rahman. Ramadan, ya Ramadan, shahr jood wa ghufran. Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhat al-Rahman. Ramadan, ya Ramadan, shahr jood wa ghufran.
The month of Ramadan is the time to end poverty. Dear friend, this Ramadan, do not hold back from that which will benefit you in the hereafter. To battle chronic poverty and promote thriving communities, charitable projects in needy areas must be applied with more depth and consideration. Zakat Foundation has been on the forefront of establishing development projects that will benefit generations of people. Schools that are safe for children to learn and grow, healthcare clinics that supply care for the elderly, women and children, water wells to supply water to drought-affected areas, and mosques where the faithful can gather to worship. These projects will continue to benefit communities and those who donate to them. This is Sadaqa Jariya. That means charity that continuously benefits and provides perpetual rewards. An ancient Chinese proverb proclaims, if you are planning for a year, sow rice. If you are planning for a decade, plant trees. If you are planning for a lifetime, educate people. Ramadan for Muslims, a month of fasting and giving. During the month of Ramadan, both fasting and acts of charity are obligatory upon Muslims who are able to do so. Fasting from sunrise to sunset is representative of a spiritual cleansing, an effort to becoming closer to God, and an attempt to gain a better understanding of human suffering. The act of fasting calls for Muslims to practice self-discipline and sacrifice, as well as reflect upon and show compassion for the poor and less fortunate. Muslims are reminded to be generous and increase their charitable activities. As a result, during Ramadan, much charitable giving is done by the community. Donations are usually focused on giving to those stricken by poverty and hunger. In celebration of Ramadan, consider donating to one of these highly rated charities, which either work predominantly in countries with large Muslim populations or strive towards the alleviation of hunger.
Aiding usually we might think is that putting the mercy in our heart, but it's more than that. It's actually that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us wealth also, gives us wealth so we can might aid them. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the wealth to aid the poor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the means for us to help the orphans, and for the strength to aid the orphans, to sponsor the orphans. And in this month, usually, you know, where the family gets together, you know, and usually families sit around each other and forget everything, all the problems, and, you know, just sit for iftar, just looking at each other with mercy. The orphan doesn't have that father figure out there, doesn't have that father figure. Thus, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us in aiding the orphans, and to actually, you know, put it that mercy, to put that chance between our hands, where we aid the orphans. Because, you know, when orphans cry, there's a saying that the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shakes, and rubbing the hair or the head of the orphan in mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write a good deed for every hair available on the head of that orphan. And of course, if it was a bald orphan, then of course it's just an expression anyway. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that chance, and I really do hope the brothers and sisters out there are many orphans out there, there are many charities out there with good causes, with good intentions. Yeah, that could go ahead and check them out and see and sponsor an orphan. And of course, leave alone the fact that they have special laws given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's this merciful aspect of it, where the humanitarian aspect of it, where us Muslims, alhamdulillah, do have it, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase it and to make it a sign of Muslims, actually, even more. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
That's all for this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we continue different nice topics which are directly or indirectly related to the month of Allah, the month of Ramadan. Believe you in care and protection of the Almighty. Oh.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and we present you a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, regarding his illustrious ancestor, Abu Talib, the uncle and guardian of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and defender of nascent Islam. Abu Talib was the repository of trust given to the past prophets, and he was the medium for their transfer to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, whose prophethood and divine mission he acknowledged.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the little that we are doing in this blessed month, to increase the quality of our efforts, to enable us to become of those who gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, and to maintain that proximity throughout the rest of the year until we reach the first day of the holy month of Ramadan again, inshallah. As we've been mentioning, many traditions speak about the blessedness of this month. And as we saw in one of our previous episodes, one of the main characteristics of this month is that it enables a person to gain the forgiveness of his sins. Rather, the sins of the person in this month are burnt away, are just melted away, are just kind of, you know, taken away from him. by this blessed month, by the moments and the seconds and the hours and the days and the nights of this blessed month, which are the best of all. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a very beautiful tradition in which he shows that if a person performs certain acts within the holy month of Ramadan, he is guaranteed to be forgiven of everything, to start a clean slate, to begin, you know, that regeneration, or as they say, to turn over a new leaf. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever fasts a day in the holy month of Ramadan, and at the end of that day he gives charity, or rather he ends the day in charity. This is two different points, that either he gives charity at the end of the day, or the last thing that he does is that he gives charity. That is just before iftar, he gives charity. Then after that, he performs ghusl and he goes to the place of prayer, whether it be the masjid or the Husayniyah or the prayer facility he has at work or wherever it may be. If possible, he can do that. And he goes there and with ghusl. So he goes, he performs his ghusl. He comes out according to which marja you follow. Please follow this up, that he makes wudu, because not all ghusls are, you know, the same, and not all ghusls, you know, give the person the ability to pray. Basically, does not take away the necessity of making wudu. This is something that the brothers and sisters or the listeners need to pay attention to and follow up with their particular marja. So anyway, the Holy Prophet says that if he does that, that is, he performs ghusl and he then goes to the place where he has to pray, he will be forgiven of everything. He will be as though he started again and he has been regenerated. He will start a new chapter in his life, and he will begin afresh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do these actions and to do these a'mal, and to be of those who are truly forgiven in this month, and of truly of those who gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of this sacred month. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني ينبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, the audience of IRB English Radio all over the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to the show from IRB English Radio in the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Quran. So in this holy and blessed month, the month of Quran, let's focus more on this great and holy book of God. In the holy month of Ramadan, we are with you to be more attached with the verses of the Holy Quran. So we have provided different parts in this series of shows for you,
and hopefully we shall be able to present these different parts and items to you in this holy month, the month of Quran. From the key points by Brother Yasser Ibrahim and also Tajbeed points by Brother Muhammad. These are different items that we shall have, and also some stories and a hadith that will come to us from IRIB English Radio. Just stay tuned and listen to Let's Recite the Quran. Dear brothers and sisters, as you know, the scholars have always actually knew the importance of the holy month of Ramadan, and they had treated the Holy Quran differently in the holy month of Ramadan, as it is the month of Quran and the month of recitation of Quran. So let's see how different scholars have been with Quran in the holy month of Ramadan. The late Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, when by seeing the moon of the holy month of Ramadan, he started to make some changes in his schedule and his programs. He tried to cancel most of his visits and to be with himself in his own environment, to be with God and to recite more of the Holy Quran. And he was always saying that the month of Ramadan itself is an official month, official in the sense that it has its own works to be done. That is the worshipping acts that he had in mind. Dear brothers and sisters, the audience of IRIB English Radio, today is the eighth day of the holy month of Ramadan. We have selected a beautiful recitation of the Holy Quran from chapter Al-A'raf, verses 44 to 46 by Mahmoud Abdul Hakim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yarifuna kullam bisimihim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. As you all know, we're in the month of Ramadan, and each day we recite the juz of that day, of that specific day. And today is the 8th of the month of Ramadan, and therefore we offered you a recitation from juz 8 of the Quran. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ونادى أصحاب الجنة أصحاب النار. In the phrase نادى أصحاب, we have مد المنفصل, the disjunct lengthening. We have a long vowel followed by a hamza, and the hamza is in a separate word. It's in a different word. Therefore, مد المنفصل takes place. And you can lengthen this mat to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. What Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam did was that he lengthened it to 2 vowel counts, which is qasr of matul munfasil. Ashabul jannati ashaban nari an qad wajadna ma wa'adana rabbuna haqqa. Okay, ashaban nari. The Hamzatul Wasl is not pronounced, nor is the Lam Sakina pronounced, because after the Lam Sakina there is a Noon. The letter Noon is a sound letter, therefore the Lam Sakina is silent as well. أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا فَهَلْ. In the phrase حَقًّا فَهَلْ, we have ikhfa of Noon Sakina, where the Noon Sakina is not pronounced from its own place of articulation. Instead, the letter fa is approximated. The place of articulation of fa is approximated. We bring the articulators close to the place of articulation of fa, and at the same time make a nasal sound for 2 vowel counts. فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا. We have waqf al-ibdal here. Haqqan becomes haqqa whenever you do waqf, because there's an alif al-mad after the tanwin al-fath. Qalu na'am fa'adhana mu'adhdhinun baynahum. Here we have iqlab of nun sakina. Mu'adhdhinun baynahum. The nun sakina of the tanwin turns into a meme, and the meme sakina is read with ikhfa. The lips are placed close together. There's a small space in between the lips, but the lips are not closed completely. And at the same time, a nasal sound is made for 2 vowel counts. Al-la'natullahi ala al-walim. Let's go on to the next verse. Al-ladhina yasudduna an sabilillah. Again, we have ikhfa of nun sakina. An sabilillah. We approximate the place of articulation of seen, and at the same time make a nasal sound for 2 vowel counts. وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. Again, we have وَقْفُ الْإِبْدَالِ if we stop on the word عِوَجًا. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ. Again, we have إِخْفَى of Mim Sakina. Similar to إِقْلَاب of Nun Sakina, the same thing happens. The Mim Sakina is read with إِخْفَى. So the lips are placed close to each other, the lips are not completely closed, there's a small space in between the lips, and a nasal sound is made for 2 vowel counts. وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابَ. حِجَاب. We have قَلْغَلَ of the letter ba in the word حِجَاب. The ba becomes ساكن as a result of وَقْف, and the قَلْغَلَ has to be applied. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ يَعْرِفُونَهُ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ. كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ. Again, we have إِقْلَاب of Nun Sakina. وَنَادَوْا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. We have إِظْهَار of Nun Sakina and the phrase سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. So the Nun Sakina is pronounced completely. لم يدخلوها وهم يطمعون.
Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this segment of Let's Recite the Quran. I now invite you to listen to the next segment of this program. Thank you.
Dear audience of IRB English Radio, welcome back and thank you very much for listening to Let's Recite the Quran. And this is really the time to ponder on the points and concepts of the Holy Quran. So on the eighth day, let's focus on the eighth juz of the Holy Quran. So I'd like to invite you to listen to Brother Yasir Ibrahim, where he tries to focus on the key points that we can find in the eighth juz of the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, today inshallah we'll be speaking about the eighth juz of the Holy Quran, being the eighth of the holy month of Ramadan. And we were trying to kind of abstract one or two important, or as we mentioned previously, all the verses of the Holy Quran are important. But one or two lessons that we can take from the Holy Quran and hopefully, inshallah, apply it in our lives. So the eighth part or the eighth juz of the Holy Quran contains two surahs. It contains Surah An'am and Surah A'raf. It begins from the 111th verse of Surah An'am and ends at the 87th verse of Surah A'raf, that is the 6th and 7th surahs of the glorious Quran. Now, one of the things that we can learn from Surah An'am is that it is not always necessary. Rather, it is never the case that the majority are correct. No, truth is truth, falsehood is falsehood, regardless of the number of people that are following path A or path B. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An'am, he mentions that, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, if you obey most of those on earth, they will lead you astray from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They follow nothing but conjectures, that is, they've created things for themselves, either mentally, physically, and all sorts of things, that basically things that are not true, fake, not reality. And they do nothing but surmise, that is, they delay things and so on and so forth. So this is one of the things we can learn from Surah An'am. Then we go to Surah A'raf, which is the seventh surah of the Holy Quran. And the surah begins with the story of Adam alayhi salam being in paradise, and obviously the deception of the shaitan. And then we go to the 27th verse of this particular surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the children of Adam. Therefore we understand it is all mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, all children of Adam, do not let shaitan or the Satan tempt you. Why? Coming after the story of Adam alayhi salam, like he expelled your parents from paradise. So here we understand that the parents of all mankind, yeah, Adam alayhi salam and Hawa salamullah alayha, stripping them of their garments to expose to them their nakedness. Indeed, he sees you, he and his hosts, whence you do not see them. This is about the shaitan, that we learn that the shaitan will come to us from places we do not know, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us risk from places we do not know, that will come in another chapter. And one more verse that we can look at in this particular beautiful surah, the Surah A'raf, is the 85th verse of this beautiful chapter. This verse states about dealing with people fairly, the justice that you should, you know, perform when dealing with people, especially in trade. And this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, about selling things less than what you have promised, to, you know, stay true to the pact and to the agreement you have with your buyer or
the person who has come to purchase from me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that regarding Shu'ib alayhi salam, he said, O my people, worship Allah, you have no other God besides Him. There has certainly come to you a manifest proof from your Lord. Observe fully the measure and the balance, and do not cheat people of their goods. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to insha'Allah be able to recite the Holy Quran, to ponder upon its verses, and to implicate its teachings within this blessed month, insha'Allah, until our next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters, many thanks for staying tuned and listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRM English Radio, and it was the ending item of this show. I hope that you have enjoyed the show, and hopefully you will join us again tomorrow same time. In case you have any questions, criticisms, or feedback, we'd be more than happy to have it from you if you send it to us through englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find the early recordings of these series on parstoday.com under the Call of Islam Radio. Dear brothers and sisters, once again, I'd like to thank you for staying tuned and ask you not to forget your brothers and sisters from your good du'as and supplications. Thank you very much. Till another show, I'd like to leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Fills up the air, Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah, Allah accepts all of the fasts, the worships that all of us have been part of in this month of Ramadan. And if He has not forgiven us up to this point in this blessed month, that He blesses us with that forgiveness on this night, inshallah. One of the teachings that we have that is also mentioned in this dua that we have, we are told to read, which is dua al-iftitah. We say, وَمَا قَصُرْنَا عَنْهُ فَبَلِّغْنَا. Whatever we are short of in terms of truth, whatever truth we are not informed of, we are negligent of, we have not seen, we don't know, then please, بَلِّغْنَا, get us to it, show that truth to us. The first line is very important, brothers and sisters, as dua. Now, by itself, it needs to be emphasized and stressed, and all of that is great. It needs to be done. What we know, it needs to be implemented. We need to implement it. There's a lot of things we know. Then when it comes to putting it into practice, our desires, our fears, our lust, our lower needs, need for money, need for and want for a comfortable life, and so on and so forth, they get in the way of us doing what we know is right. And let me put this, it helps with understanding why we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance. See, as a believer, we don't want to do something that's wrong. So when we realize that there is a truth that we have recognized from what God has given us, then in terms of applying it, we realize that there are difficulties, there are consequences, there's a price to pay. What happens is that we fall short of that. Many times, the way we do that is to go and try to make ourselves think that, no, it doesn't apply to us one way or another. It's either that the truth we understood is not right, or it doesn't apply to us. Because there's another truth, for instance, that we try to fool ourselves in thinking that other ruling, that other teaching, that other instruction of Islam is going to overcome and override this instruction that's difficult, and that's going to dictate heart ease, the one that will override. The hard one, the difficult one, is overridden by another Islamic teaching, another teaching that we assume, we start making up. So we justify, basically, the process of justification. When we find something to be difficult, we start to justify, we begin to justify. And God forbid, we begin to justify and we start believing in that justification, and then that starts becoming our Islam. That starts becoming our religion. That's why some people in the name of Islam are telling us that we need to cooperate with the kuffar. We need to cooperate with the mushrikeen. We need to cooperate with tyrants. We need to cooperate with those who are behind and responsible for the killing of millions of people over the course of the years. Responsible for the torture of thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people throughout the world. You see, Islam tells us that we've got to work with these people. We have to work with these institutions. We've got to do things the way they will accept us. We shouldn't behave in ways that they will penalize us. And somehow that is the Islamic teaching, the Islamic ruling. No, that's not the case. That's not the case. Every prophet was penalized. Every prophet was tortured, was hurt, was fought against. Every single prophet, every single imam, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. That's an example, higher or lower scale of that, different levels of this idea. We know something because of difficulties, because of our desires, because of our fears. We turn away from that truth, and then worse, we start making ourselves believe that turning away from that truth is the truth, is right. This is why this dua, this is the point. Now, that in itself is something we need to focus on, but here it's a dua. We are recognizing, and the Imam is teaching us to recognize this, Ya Allah, I can't. I'm coming to you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading to you. You take my hand in implementing this. مَا عَرَّفْتَنَا مِنَ الْحَقِّ فَحَمِّلْنَا. You take me and implement this. This feeling of need and this request, this plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important, brothers and sisters. As difficult as I said that process is, I don't know, all of us, I think, to a lesser or greater degree have been involved in this, and we have seen, and I don't know about you, but I've caught myself. I have seen where I didn't say something because of a fear, whereas I look back and I was wrong, I should have said it. I said something that I shouldn't have for whatever lust or desire or whatever it was. We see it's difficult, and then especially when so many different people are involved in that decision making, and you're so worked up about what this person is going to say, what that person, the whole focus becomes that. These are all aspects of the complexity of applying a truth and implementing and carrying a truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, has shown us. the Imam teaches us that we need to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell Him, Ya Allah, I can't. I need Your help. And that dua and that honest and sincere plead, not just reading those lines. See, if we don't acknowledge that we're incapable, if I don't remind myself of all those times where because of a desire, because of a fear, because of whatever else, I left the truth. If I don't remind myself of that, and remind myself that even in the cases that I did, alhamdulillah, do right, it was so difficult, and I look back and it's clear, crystal clear, that Allah took my hand through that difficulty, through that fitna, and made me do the right thing. If I don't acknowledge that, this is not going to be a genuine and sincere pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him and begging Him for it. We need to remind ourselves of that and realize the importance of this. Then once we realize it and we actually ask in that sincere, genuine, desperate way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond, and then you'll start seeing. You don't realize that He starts taking your hand. You start realizing that the truth becomes more clear. As soon as thoughts come, let's do this, but what about this, what about that? That those thoughts that want to try to mislead me, confuse me, make me think that perhaps this isn't the right thing to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get them, allow me to see through them clearly. I will start getting clarity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. A mu'min is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fearful that he's not going to do, and recognizes and acknowledges that he can't do the right thing without Allah's assistance. And so if we have this iman, we have this dua, this is part of iman, this dua that the Imam of our time is teaching us, is helping us with that level of iman. If that level of iman is there, as the Quran says, مَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts showing you. You start seeing, it's clear. It's no longer ambiguous. It becomes more and more clear.
We welcome you, month we all adore. We pray for happiness and more. To all the people, open up your door. Peace, love and joy. Let them soar, let them soar. Ramadan. Ramadan, welcome holy month Ramadan, welcome Ramadan.
Our voice comes.